Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Voss. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Szabó-Voss, and today I'm visiting with Andrea Lauer-Rice about an exciting new project she is working on that will commemorate the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. Hey, friend, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Liz. Thanks for having me back.
So one thing I love about you is that you are so creative, and that is evidenced in your projects. They're always so interesting, and you find creative ways to commemorate the 1956 revolution. So I want you to tell us all about this new project, but for those who may not know, can you just give us a brief bit of information about the Hungarian Revolution of 1956?
Okay, so the Hungarian Revolution of 1956, I always like to talk about it as a modern day David versus Goliath story. It was really the story of the tiny country of Hungary, 10 million people standing up to the mighty Soviet Union, who was had overtaken all of the smaller countries in the region and put them behind the Iron Curtain. And it was horrible days of communism when everyone was deprived all of their rights. And really, it was just a complete totalitarian regime. The Hungarian Communist Party was being very much governed by the Russian communists. And on October 23rd in 1956, the students in Hungary had had enough, and they rose up at the beginning. It was a way for them to express solidarity with some things that were happening in Poland, but it really grew into a huge nationwide event in Hungary after the march on October 23rd, and then the students marched over to the Hungarian radio building, and that's when everything turned, everything changed, when the Russians and the communists started fire against the unarmed students, and it immediately turned into an armed revolution. So for 13 days, basically, Hungarians came together across all ages and classes and demanded that the Russian troops leave Hungary, and they had essentially a free country for that period of time, and went about doing all sorts of things, including creating their own government. So it was about 13 days of freedom until the Soviet Union decided enough was enough, and they came back in and really crushed the revolution with merciless force. It was really a horrible situation, and that eventually led to around 200,000 people fleeing the country of Hungary, including approximately 35,000 to the United States. And as all good Hungarian Americans know, there a lot of the folks who fled to Hungary ended up having a really significant impact in the United States and doing some incredible things in the country here. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It was, it was when the students of Hungary, when no one else in the world dared, they stood up to the bully behind the Iron Curtain.
And we have covered this in several other episodes of the Hungarian Living Podcast. So if somebody wants to dig in a little bit deeper and want to listen to the conversation between Andrea and I, episodes 8, 9, and 10 of the Hungarian Living Podcast have additional information. So we talk about the revolution, but then we also talk about some other projects that have come out of that. So thank you for that recap. It's really hard to condense that amount of activity and the subsequent consequences in such a short period of time. But that was a pretty good wrap up there. So good job. You must have done that before.
Well, thank you. It is hard to wrap it up because, for one of our projects, Memory Project, we've done over, I think it's 125 interviews, and it's just, the passion and the impact it still has had on every one of the 56ers, every one of the folks who fled Hungary at that time, even 65 years later. I mean, it's really amazing to hear those stories and to see how clearly people remember those moments. And of course they do, because they were so, they were these kind of quintessential moments in everyone's life, when you step across the border of Hungary, when you choose to leave your homeland against your wishes.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so I hope that that wrap up did it justice in the eyes of the 56ers, because this is what it's all about, is honoring the bravery of the 56ers and really making sure that that their sacrifice and their bravery is never forgotten, because it really was an incredible time, an incredible moment in history for Hungarians and for my family, which is why it's such an important topic for me personally. My grandparents were participants and they left. My mother, who was 14 at the time, my aunt. So these are the stories I grew up hearing, and I always want to make sure I can do my part in passing them on.
For sure. Well, I'm glad, and I'm glad you do, because you need that voice, you know. And it may not be that your grandparents are here, you know, to carry on the story, but you get the opportunity and the privilege to do that, and your mom's story, and you know, that's just carrying on the story, sharing it, passing it on. That's pretty much what you do. And it's not even just your stories. I mean, it's the collective 1956 story. I think that's where I feel like that's really where your strength is in sharing the stories, so people remember that revolution. So how many 1956 statues are there in the US?
Well, that's a good question. As much as I've been able to pin it down, I think there are 10 statues. And then there are an additional, I would say, 9 or 10 either commemorative plaques or parks, or actually there's a stained glass window in a church in Florida. So there are approximately, I would say, 20 ways to commemorate 56 across the US. And I think about 10 of them are statues.
Okay. And what that just shows is that this is very significant. It's not just, you know, again, it is something that you are known for talking about, but clearly there's pockets of people all across the nation that care about this, and enough that there are statues and commemorative plaques and ways to remember. And it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we look at our community, the Hungarian American community as a whole, and we see our 56ers, I mean, most of the people who left the country at that time were incredibly passionate, incredibly patriotic Hungarians. And when they were forced to flee, it was definitely, you know, not what they wanted. They wanted to stay in Hungary. They wanted to remain Hungarian in whatever way that they could. So many times they came to the U.S. and they continued speaking in Hungarian, and they continued being Hungarian scouts, or they continued worshiping at Hungarian church services. Or if there wasn't something in their area, a lot of them started their own clubs, many of which are still with us today. So I would say the 56ers really continue to be a very strong part of our community. And in fact, I think the backbone of many of our most established organizations. So again, this project, all of the projects are just another way to honor their legacy and to make sure people don't forget the story.
All right. So tell us about the project. What are you working on?
Well, this has been a dream of mine for a long, long time, to create a statue to 1956 that we could put up here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm really excited that this year is the year that we're putting all of our efforts into this very exciting, very big project. So we are working on the location. We have three different candidates for the location, and I can't reveal yet, but we're in negotiations with all of them. So I hope to be able to report on that very quickly. Mm-hmm. But the process is very much underway. We have an incredible sculptor who is locally based in Athens, Georgia, but he is absolutely world-renowned. His name is Stan Mullins. And he has worked on some really incredible pieces, hundreds of pieces of artwork, but really neat pieces. His current project is on Chief Tamachichi, who is one of the founders of Savannah, Georgia, and has a real part in Georgia history. But he's done things with Martin Luther King Jr.'s family. And done statues of King family members. He's done statues and paintings about Rwanda conflict. I mean, you name it. I can't even do him justice in this short a period of time. Mm-hmm. But anyone who's interested in finding out more about him, stanmullins.com. And he is so excited about this project. So I linked up with Stan through our honorary consul general here in Atlanta, John Parkerson. And John Parkerson is working with the Hungarian American Coalition. So we're the two kind of lead organizations on the project. But of course, we couldn't do this without our partners here in Georgia. And so I'm really excited to tell you that this is a Georgia-wide community effort. We're partnering with the Atlanta Hungarian Meetup, with the Hungarian Community Church of Georgia, and with the Harrelson County Historical Society. And for those of you who don't know anything about Harrelson County, that's where the Budapest Cemetery is, which is a really cool story on its own. So we're working with all of them. We have a statue committee put together. It's 10 to 12 folks who include children of 56ers, local business people, community leaders. And we have a special advisory council made up of our local 56ers. So I want to make sure everybody's in on the process as we create this statue. And, you know, you just asked me how many statues there are. If we say there are 10 statues and 20 ways to commemorate 56, I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked up what the most recent statue has been, but I do feel like it's been quite a while. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty exciting that that we're able to put up a new statue right now to 1956. So Stan Mullins and I, the artists, have been working together, and we just took a trip down to Elberton, Georgia, which is where a lot of the quarries are. And we chose an incredible granite block that is 9 feet tall of key blue Georgia granite. And it's now in the process of being delivered, and Stan will start work on his design. So he already has the model. And it's really exciting. We're going to do a lot of behind the scenes videoing and posting to social media. There's actually a Facebook group now all about the Georgia statue to 1956. So we invite everybody to participate and to kind of join in the journey behind the scenes. This has been a real educational process for me. I've never been involved in the creation of a statue before, so it's been a real learning process, but it's really been exciting. And we have the design, and we started a GoFundMe campaign. So the idea behind the project is we would get part of it community funded, and we're also going for some corporate funding as well. There's, I think, 6 or 7 Georgia-based companies who have operations in Hungary that we're approaching. And our initial grant was from Hungary's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And we're really thrilled to have had that kind of as our kickoff for the project. And so we're continuing on in terms of the fundraising. One of the really exciting things, and everybody can, hopefully we can put the link to the GoFundMe in the program notes. Mm-hmm. But we have a couple of really unique fundraising options that I wanted to let everybody know about. So at the $1,000 level, and this does not have to be from an individual, it could be that you gather up, you know, 4 family members and everybody donates $250. But if you get to get a group together that will reach a $1,000 donation level, then you will be able to name someone on the bronze plaque. So the initial discussions around the bronze plaques are that the bronze plaque on the front of the statue would be historical in nature, would tell a bit about the story of 1956. And then we're looking at including a quote, maybe from President Reagan or from President Kennedy. Both of them have really iconic quotes about the revolution. And that's a nice tie between Hungary and the U.S. The back of the statue will contain another plaque, and that will include the names of all of our donors above the $1,000 level. And so I wanted to make everyone aware of that $1,000 naming opportunity, because, as I said, I don't think a statue has been put up in some time. So this will be kind of a unique opportunity for folks, especially, you know, children of 56ers, as we watch our parents age a little bit. It's I love feeling that, you know, my mom's name is going to be on that statue. And mm-hmm. and you know, that's exciting. For corporate and organizational sponsors and others, we're certainly not going to limit anybody. But at the $5,000 level, there is an exciting opportunity that actually you'll get to meet with our artist, Stan Mullins, at his studio and see the statue being created in person. And that's pretty fun because Stan is a real character and has an incredible artist studio in Athens, Georgia. And at the $10,000 level, anyone who gets to that level will actually receive a trophy size replica of the statue. And the process that he goes through, the creative process, is that he makes a clay mold that's about, I think it's about a foot. And then from that, he'll be able to make a bronze mold and be able to create these smaller size statues.
So that's very cool.
Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And then if anyone's feeling really generous and excited, or if there's anybody who you may want to forward this to, we also have a special patron of the arts fundraising level that would basically help pay for our artist, Stan Mullins. And that's at the $25,000 level. I certainly don't anticipate that would come from an individual, but you know, we can dream. So that's where we stand right now. It's a very short time frame, so we're working as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. Our hope is that we will be able to unveil this statue on October 23rd. We have invited Hungarian Ambassador Szabolcs Takács. We're very hopeful he'll be able to come. And we've also invited Governor Brian Kemp from the state of Georgia. He's got it on his calendar unless something pressing comes up. But yeah, so we should have a pretty exciting unveiling. And so we'll, depending on how the fundraising goes, my hope is that we can do a really special and unique educational piece to this as well. I'd like to do a very detailed commemorative booklet where we're telling stories, not just of the local 56ers, but of any 56ers who are named on the plaque. I'd love to really highlight the Georgia-Hungary connections, which this may seem like a non-traditional Hungarian community, but you know, we have 20,000 folks in Hungary, according to the last census, and actually quite an interesting storied history. So I want to highlight that a bit. And I'd love to take advantage of the new technology and put a QR code in the corner of the statue that would potentially link to a website where we could, you know, use this as a really great educational opportunity for young people. So there's lots of grand plans. If it doesn't all happen this year, that's okay. I hope this will be a, you know, long-term ongoing project, of course. But for right now, for this year, the plan is to get the statue completed and placed in one of our three locations and on October 23rd, and then we can move to the educational piece as soon as possible.
Okay. And if people want to keep up to date, you know, we'll put a link in the show notes for the Facebook page, because that's where you're going to kind of announce first where the final location will be and those kinds of behind the scenes details.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, it's been a really fun project because we're working to post pretty regularly on that Facebook group page all sorts of links between Hungary and the U.S. pertaining particularly to 1956. So we'll look at all of these 20 memorials that we talked about across the United States. Mm-hmm. We'll look at some of the most famous 56ers who have made significant impacts in the United States. We'll look at major areas of interest or major stories around 56 from, let's say, there's a great story about Bard College, for example, who went into Camp Kilmer and offered a load of educational opportunities for Hungarian refugees. So we'll talk a little bit about Camp Kilmer. We'll talk a little bit about Bard College. We'll talk about the Olympic athletes who defected or who... Mm-hmm. After 1956, and there's a whole fascinating story that we learned about them, because they were kind of entertained as a group when they came to the U.S. and they were put on talk shows and, you know, treated very, very lavishly for the first couple of weeks until, you know, kind of reality set in. So it's just really some fascinating stories, organizations that 56ers have created and the like. So if anyone's interested in, you know, having a story told, or if they know of some really fascinating 56 story that we haven't heard of, you know, we're always open to highlighting and to to talking about new things, that new stories, new people. It's really important that we get everybody's stories recorded, even if someone's parents or grandparents have passed. Anything that we can write down, any pictures that we can gather and collect, any interviews that we can do, even through Zoom. I think it's really, really important. And if we can't do it through Memory Project or freedomfighter56.com, you know, I really urge grandkids and kids and friends to sit down with 56ers and make sure that their stories are recorded in some way, shape, or form. It's just super, super important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now this is the 65th anniversary of the revolution.
It is.
So it's a great, I mean, every year is a great year to think about it, but this is a kind of a banner year and a way to, you know, having this statue is a nice way to have a culminating focus, all the things that lead up to the statue, all the things you just mentioned about the highlighting people and things that came out of 56, you know, highlighting the stories, the commemorative plaques, the places that people landed, you know, all those things, I think help people who are American citizens who may be a little further removed from the 1956 Hungarian Revolution, helps them to see the bigger picture, how the impact on the United States, what that has been. Right. And so it's a great opportunity to say, okay, this year, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, who knows what it leads to in the future as well, especially with encouraging people to, like grandchildren, to ask the grandparents some questions and conduct their own personal family interviews or what have you. So I appreciate that you're gathering all the information and you're posting things regularly and getting this in front of people to be thinking about now. So
absolutely. And I think after the really challenging year that we've had, I mean, it's been said time and time again, one of the positives, if we can call it that, that's come out of this disastrous year is that, you know, so many people are more comfortable, more familiar with technology. And so, I mean, if you take this Zoom call today, you know, it would be really easy for grandkids, for example, to call up their grandmothers or grandfathers and ask them some questions over Zoom and just record it. It's an easy way to do it. It, believe me, they want to tell the story most of the time.
True.
Sometimes it may still be too painful, but even if it's not a story about 56, I urge kids and grandkids to make sure that they know the story of their grandparents and their parents. It's important, not just for family history, but for our community history. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I was able to interview as part of Memory Project. I was able to interview my mother, my aunt, and my grandmother, actually, from years and years ago. I have pictures that my uncle took. And I have, unfortunately, I only have the stories from my grandfather, but I really feel that those are so, so special. So it's important. It's important that we, for the community history, that we share these stories and make sure that they're written down someplace and that they're shareable. So I really encourage everyone to do that. This is a great opportunity for that.
Definitely. So you've done a lot of legwork. Of course, there's still a lot more to go, but as you were saying, the time is ticking away. And so we will make sure that we include links to the show notes so that people can get involved and engaged. You know, it could be simply talking to a family member. It could be talking to a group of grandchildren and say, hey, do you guys all want to chip in some money? Let's put grandma or grandpa's name on the statue, or mom or dad's name on the statue, you know, getting people engaged in the process and focusing on and honoring their family member that participated. You know, even if their name isn't necessarily on the statue, it's still honoring the family member or honoring the efforts of the Hungarians in the revolution. And so it's a good way to just say, hey, you know, we stand behind this, we believe in this, we support this, we're thankful for it, and making a contribution in that way.
Absolutely. And let me just end with two quick things. So all the donations come through the Hungarian American Coalition, which is a 501c3. So everything is tax deductible and you will get a receipt. The second thing is I love Hungarian American history. You know this about me, Liz, but, mm-hmm. And every, you know, every chance we get, we try to shine a light. We try to share a story. So we're doing this, in, you know, kind of a la Joseph Pulitzer. And the story is that Joseph Pulitzer back in the day, he basically ran a huge fundraising campaign so that he could help build the foundational base for the Statue of Liberty to be placed on. And when he did that, he ran the ads in his newspapers, and he asked for money, for any kind of money that anybody could donate. And in those days, it was, you know, sometimes 1 cent. But for every single donation that he received, he put that person's name in his newspaper. And for many people, since newspapers were just beginning at that point, this was the first and maybe only time that their name ever would be, you know, seen in black and white newsprint. So we are honoring that that story, that legacy, that history of the Hungarian American community. And anyone who donates any amount of money at all will be listed in our commemorative booklet, because, you know, this is a community initiative. We have to come together to record the stories, to share our history, to take pride in what our relatives have done, what our countrymen have done. And this is just a really, you know, this is a unique and fun way, I think, to do that. And it gives us a great educational opportunity in many ways as well, not just to share 1956, but to share the stories of the Hungarian American history in Georgia, but also in many other ways. And this Pulitzer story is just one other example.
Yes. And I love that because, you know, that is, after having lived in New York, we've gone to see the Statue of Liberty, and I read all about that, and I was like, I can't believe this guy was Hungarian, you know. Right. Hungarians are everywhere, but it's a cool way to kind of tie that all together too. So, and you know, I think the important thing is, yes, there are going to be some big donors, but at the same time, there's also going to be some donors that they can't give as much, but they're still giving to the cause. And I think that it's important to value all of them. And so this is a perfect way to do that.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. It takes a village.
Absolutely.
It certainly takes a community. So we welcome anyone and everyone to join in this incredible, fun, historic journey that we're on. And hopefully being in Atlanta, you know, the busiest airport in the world, people could just kind of, you know, pop on over and see the statue, even if you don't live in Georgia full time. So we welcome everybody to join us. This is going to be a fun adventure for the community as a whole.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you, Andrea, for visiting with me today about this project. I'm so excited. It's been in the works for a while, and it's been fun to hear your excitement over the last multiple months about, you know, ooh, this is coming and I got this far. And so now there's so much more that's happening. You know, so much more as you've been able to research and select your artist and go find the granite. And, you know, just this whole process has been, I'm sure you've learned a ton. I've learned a ton just, you know, hanging out with you and knowing what you're in the middle of. So I think it's a good project for everybody to kind of be on board with and go along for the ride, even though we may not be right there in the thick of it, but we could follow along on the Facebook page and know what's happening. So I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me today again, because there's always something fun that you're doing.
Well, thank you as always for the opportunity, my dear. It's a real pleasure. And I love being able to talk about these great projects.
Well, good. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Andrea Laura Rice. We will include links in the show notes to all the resources mentioned in the podcast so that you can get involved with this project. And those can be found at HungarianLiving.com. And for more fun conversations about all kinds of things that have to do with Hungarian heritage and culture, be sure to tune in to our next episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. And if you have an idea for a topic to be discussed on the podcast, send an email to podcast@HungarianLiving.com. See you next week. Hungarian Living is a division of Magyar Marketing, the Hungarian store, where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at MagyarMarketing.com. And special thanks to Stephen Chichek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.